Talking with TD. Talking with TD. Touchdown, Tennessee! The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Terrell Davenport.
Put up a shut up, sir.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
1025, The Game.
Here we go. Yes, yes, you are now talking with TD. I'm your host, Teron Davenport. We got a lot to get into. Even though it is the offseason, there's still plenty of talk. You know how this game goes. It's year-round, the National Football League, so we'll get into some things there. Titans-specific, as always. And got Chris Sanders coming on. I think I'm going to ask him about just picking important players to this team. And that's the kind of content, right, you get during this offseason, you know, the couple weeks leading into training camp. In fact, just about 2 weeks before camp starts, man, July 23rd. And you know what happens, man. Once you get into training camp, you blink your eyes, and it's January. So definitely make sure that each day as they go fast, you just live it to the fullest, man. Some things that, you know, a little bit of knowledge and words from TD. But no, all jokes aside, man, we got David James here making it happen.
Yes, sir.
Good to be in studio. And I tell you, when you look at this offseason, you know, one of the highlights for me, I don't know if you got to watch that receiver show on Netflix.
I've seen a little bit of it. Not too much. It looks really good.
Listen, man, I sat through, and I'm not really a person. Like, I could sit through and burn through film, you know what I mean, or watch a game. But I'm not really, it's tough for me to sit in front of TV and watch it for a couple hours. But I burned through two episodes of that really fast. It would have been a third episode, but my lady called me and had me on the phone. And I had to spend the time on the phone with her instead of watching the episode. But rest assured, when I get out of here, I'm going to go back and watch as many more. I think they have four episodes up right now, but I burned through the first two, and really, really interesting. And I just love how they do the background.
Mm-hmm.
You really get to know these guys a bit. You know, Devontae Adams, he had a play. It was against the Chargers, and he hurt his shoulder, his AC joint. It was like separated. They took him in and they shot him with the what is that? I'm gonna look it up because the lidocaine. They gave him a lidocaine injection.
That is...
All of a sudden, he's catching the football like it's nothing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And they sent him back out there, but they still lost. But those details, you know, mm-hmm. the things inside of the game. You know, you got Debo Samuel mm-hmm. and George Kittle, you know, there, and Amon-Ra St. Brown, you know, it's pretty cool. Justin Jefferson, that hamstring, man.
I know.
That hamstring, you know, you hate to see greatness get stalled,
exactly.
But I'm glad he got rewarded. Mm-hmm. But yeah, man, it was a cool series. That's those types of programs that come out that give you that behind the scenes stuff. It's always fun to watch that during the off season. Obviously, you got Hard Knocks too, Giants Edition.
Man, did you see the call from the GM to Saquon?
That's exactly what I'm sitting here dumbfounded. Like what
are we doing here?
How do you not know what you think his value is going to be? Like, exactly. How do you not know that? Exactly. You're a GM.
I love how he said, you know, hey, you're going to call us, you know, if you get a good offer. Right?
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
What do you do? Like, why would you say that?
Yeah, that's like a shorty calling me and saying, hey, you know. I want you to go ahead and see, can you get another girlfriend?
Yeah. But hey,
but
remember,
before you do,
I'm still
commit
here.
To her. Remember, I'm still here.
Yeah,
I just want you. What?
What are you doing?
No, you don't do that.
Exactly.
You got to know your value. You got to know the player's value. But either way, let's bring it back to the Titans. And I wanted to get into these next couple segments, just some questions, right? And I think that's something that, you know, going into training camp, there's different things to consider. This team, you know, they were a top 10 selection last year, or, well, 11th, right?
11th. No, it was seven.
Seven, yeah. I don't know.
Two years ago,
they were 11th. They were a top 10 selection, yeah. 2 years ago, they were 11th when they picked Skoronski. But, yeah, nevertheless, obviously questions on both sides of the football coming into this year. And then you look at, you know, at number seven overall, it was very clear that they were going to go offensive line. And here we have it. J.C. Latham was the pick. And I'll actually start questions on offense. And I think the first question for me is the offensive line. And, you know, the first question along the offensive line is, okay, can J.C. Latham truly make this switch to left tackle? And that's not something – this isn't Madden where you just, you know, switch positions and it's a smooth transition and everything's good. That's something that's – it's going to be a process. And I think it's gotten off to a good start. In fact, I wrote about it. You know, the start has been really good. He's actually, you know, shown signs. I know he got to work with a very, very good offensive lineman. I'll let him tell the story come training camp. But he got to spend some time with somebody that if you said the person's name, you'd be like, yeah, that was a really good choice. That was a really good choice. Great, great decision. And I think when you look at that, reaching out to that person, showing that effort to do, that's like everything on the surface is good. You know, the effort, the willingness, the coachable aspect of it. And then the coach that's coaching him. I think that's a really good combination. And the formula is there for him to be good. But we got to see the pads go on. We got to see him go against, you know, that variety of a one play you're dealing with the outside speed of Harold Landry. Then the next play you're dealing with the questions, the various things that Arden Key could do, whether it's bull rush, outside move, inside spin, whatever. And then you got the bull himself, Jeffrey Simmons, right? So, you know, because they do move Jeffrey Simmons to end. So Latham's going to have to see all of that. I want to see how he responds to it. I want to see how he responds to getting beat. In fact, he mentioned the one time where he talked about getting in his set too quickly in his drop and a guy showing outside and then making a move inside. And he was just like stuck. And he said, oh, I had to bank that. And I don't know what happened in the next rep because we didn't get to see that. But I think those are the types of things that we have to see him get challenged on and see how he responds to that. So that's question one. J.C. Latham, can he make the switch? Now, while we're talking offensive line, you got to look at the right side of it, right? Because we're talking about four guys. So you got, you know, Sadiq Charles and Nicholas Petit-Ferrer. They are the probable starters. First teamers, probably, you know, at right guard and right tackle. Then behind them, you got Dylan Radins, you got Daniel Brunskill, you got John Ajukwu, Jalen Duncan. So actually, we're talking about six guys in the mix for two positions. I don't know how that's going to play out. And the thing that's even more intriguing about it is you got Jalen Duncan, who could also be in the mix for backup left tackle. But more importantly, you got Daniel Brunskill, you got Dylan Radins, who have proven themselves to play outside or inside, right? Tackle or guard. So, and on top of that, Brunskill is the backup center. So there's all types of things. The one thing that they do have secured, I would say, is left guard and center and Cushenberry exactly, yep. And Skoronski. But I don't know what's going to happen with this right tackle situation. They clearly feel that between those six guys, they have the right guard and right tackle that they need on the roster. Sadiq Charles is a very intriguing player. I know PFF numbers,
yeah,
they don't exactly do him justice, but PFF numbers, they'll tell you that Aaron Brewer was a top-level center last year.
Exactly.
So take those numbers for what they want. I don't usually mention them, but I know that there will be listeners say, you know, what about the PFF? Look, all I know is that in talking to people in Washington, they liked Sadiq Charles. They liked him, but the only problem was availability. And they said every time he's ready to turn the corner and prove himself as an established player, something would come up. Now, it didn't always lead to a missed game, but it led to not getting the practice, you know, which will in turn lead to not getting those game reps. So that was an issue. We'll see what happens here. I mean, the Titans clearly have invested and made some changes to their strength and conditioning staff. You even see it just from the jump as far as like, the warm-up is different. You know, the stretch period is different. So we'll see what happens there. But I think, you know, this is an offense. You know, they gave up way too many sacks. You know, Jalen Duncan and what's my man's name that left? How does his name slip? Andre Dillard. These two guys were among the top five in sacks allowed. Guess what? Neither one of them was a full-time starter. Which do you know insane. What I'm saying? Yeah. So, you know, we're looking. I think it was 42 sacks this team allowed last year.
I think so. That sounds right.
Way, way too many. Way too many. Levis and Ryan Tannehill and even Willis for the brief time that he was in. Now, granted, one of the sacks was Willis's fault. But yeah. There was a time where, you know, getting behind center, that was like being a crash test dummy. Like, it was inevitable that you were going to get hurt, you know. So they have to fix that. That leads me to the next thing, and this, I think, is the biggest question, because if this part isn't right, forget about the season. And that's Will Levis. And it's important to get into the offensive line first, because you can't have Levis in the situation that he was in last year. I don't really think there's a true way to evaluate him knowing the pressure that he was under. Knowing that this was a team, if you get into third and long, like, just take the playbook and like cut it in half. Because they didn't have the ability to protect enough to run longer developing routes to get a 11 or 12-yard gain consistently on third and long. These are the problems that can't roll into this year, and that's why I think they invested so heavily in the offensive line, a top 10 draft pick. The biggest free agent center deal in the history of the game, a smaller level offensive lineman deal in Sadiq Charles. So all of this is set up for Will Levis. Now you got the protection, you got the weapons as well. And I think that's the important part of it, you know, because everyone, we point to, okay, how will Will Levis, how will he show that he's the guy? And I think that's important, but it's also important that we look at, okay, how did Rand Carthon and the crew, like and Chad Brinker, Anthony Robinson, you know, how did they put the pieces around Will Levis to allow him to flourish?
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think you look at up front, I think you look at the slot in Tyler Boyd, you look at outside at Z and Calvin Ridley, I think they did a good job of bringing in the people to protect. And then defensively too, because I don't think this defense, and we'll get into the defense in the next segment, I don't think this defense is going to give up a lot of points. Like I think they're going to give this offense a lot of opportunities. I think they're going to create turnovers, and that's something that Denard Wilson said was really important in his opening presser. So you look at that. Will Levis, he made the tweaks to the mechanics. I think, you know, when you look at what he was behind, you cannot really be sound mechanically when you're consistently under fire the way he was. There were some really good throws that he made. There were some bad ones that he made. I think you can't get either too high or too low on either of them and just understand that he did what he could with what was presented to him. But I do like the effort that he's made as far as stepping up as a leader, right? You got the Cabo trip that he facilitated. You got, you know, he did a local camp here, a passing camp. You know, there were a couple college quarterbacks that were here, a couple local quarterbacks, and Rob Williams with QB Motion. We'll have him on the show at some point, actually. I'm going to reach out to him. His Levis is QB coach, you know, and just the things. And you'll see when you hear him talk, the way he talks about this, you're just like, yeah. Because I was just watching, like I said before, man, they spent an hour and 45 minutes working on feet all the way up to the core before they even picked up a football and started throwing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's that detailed. But we'll get him on to talk about that. But I say all that to say everything is in place for Levis to be a solid quarterback. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that, you know, he's going to be a Josh Allen type of player or anything like that. I do think that he passes for 4,000 yards. This offense is just like, it's conducive to that happening. So I will say that. But it's still a question. What will Will Levis be? That's the other question. Now, another thing that you have to look at as a question is the tight end position.
Mm-hmm.
Look, say what you want about Chig. You know, we've always been high on Chig on this show.
We have, yep.
Even before he got to the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
Say what you want about Josh Wiley, you know, and the potential that they've shown, but it's still unproven. Now, one thing I will say about Chig that was good last year, you started to see him get more comfortable catching the football. He was after practice, every practice, catching on the jugs machine. And anybody who has played athletics, you know that your confidence comes from your work that you put in. So as he started to do that, you saw him not jump for the football as much, which is a sign of being confident in your hands. And that's a good thing. We'll see how that carries over. Josh Wiley is a guy that you saw him, and multiple people that I've talked to said that he's gotten to a point where like he's really starting to open up. And I think as you get more comfortable in your environment, that's more conducive to you being successful. So I think that's a good thing. And you look, man, that's a big body. That's a big body dude right there. I would love to have him line up, you know, flex and run fades with him. I would love to tell him line up out wide and run slants. There's a lot you could do with him. So I want to see how Brian Callahan works with that. He had a taller tight end at one point in Tyler Eifert, you know, and Eifert wasn't ultra productive, but he made some plays. So I think, you know, you could find some ways to use those guys. So those were just a few of the questions that I had coming in offensively. Brian Callahan, even, you know, you got a question. Okay, is he going to be able to lead these guys? I think he is, talking to people in Cincinnati. You know, they said he's a very nice guy and he's cool and everything. But when it's time to be that jerk, that butthead, he's able to do it. You know, and there's some examples that I've brought up in the past. So we'll see what happens there. We're going to go ahead and go to a break. Let's go come back and get into a little MVP talk with Chris Anders.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Run from the DMT.
As the music fades, the lights dim. And now, starting at point guard for your Atlanta Hawks, from the University of Michigan, number 22, Ramil Robinson.
And now, starting for the Denver Nuggets, T.R. Dunn. Hey, these cats don't even know who T.R. Dunn is. They're like, what? Nope. What's T.R. Dunn?
They probably don't know who Ramil Robinson is either. I was going to get you with Glenn Rice, but I said, you ain't wear a brace when you play, so I let him alone.
I was going to get you with Cedric Sabalas, however you pronounce his name. I was going to tell you, you look like him, but I couldn't remember who he played for.
Yeah, Phoenix Suns. You know, it's funny
Phoenix
because
Suns, that's right.
This was the one I was going to get you with, but I couldn't relate it to basketball. You know what I mean? And that was Eric LaSalle, because you're in the vehicle, and when you got in the vehicle, you had to look in the mirror and make sure that you were right. I know you licked your fingers and wiped your mustache, and you took the pick out, and you gave it that pick and that spray. And you know that song came on, right? You know what song I'm talking about, right? You know what song?
Yeah, I do.
Just let your soul glow.
I'm gonna get you with this, man. You remember watching the Five Heartbeats?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You remember? Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Remember Duck?
Yo, stop it, man.
You ain't no chip no more. What's cracking like it, man? How you doing, bro?
Hey, man, I'm doing really well. Good. All season is good, man. I just 48th birthday over the weekend.
What?
Shot down to see the Braves play.
Man, you old.
Hey, listen, oldie but goodie. You know what the whispers used to say, right? Or was it the OJs? I think it was the OJs. You know, just like the finest of wine, keep getting better with time, man. I don't mind being 48. Shoot.
You get that AARP thing, you get that in the mail, yeah.
I ain't gonna lie.
Say that mine came in the mail like last year. I'm like, what?
I felt insulted when they said that. I walked back from the mailbox. I walked back to my house. I stood on the porch and I was swinging, punching air like Trey and Boys in the Hood. But forget all that. We gotta talk football, man. I wanted to, you know, as we're on this off-season side of things, obviously a lot of lists and things are made. There were a few lists that came out recently.
Yeah.
The Titans did have Jeffrey Simmons on the list. Usually they have a running back on the list. You know, Derrick Henry came in ninth. That's ESPN's top 10 players at 11 different positions. Jeremy Fowler, he polls different people and they vote. And Derrick Henry came in ninth. Jeffrey Simmons came in fourth, I want to say. Fourth among all defensive tackles. So it made me want to think and go over with you, when you look at this team, I mean, obviously, Will Levis, like you say, oh, well, yeah, the quarterback, that's the most important person to the team's success. But non-quarterback, who would you say is most crucial to this team's success?
Oh, I mean, you made it a point. I mean, I just think it's Jeffrey Simmons. I mean, because you look at the defense runs through, you know, Simmons. And I think with him, if he has a outbreak here and, you know, he does what he's capable of doing, I mean, this could be a great defense. I mean, look who they brought in. They brought in, you know, Sweat's going to be a great asset, and there's going to be some other guys. But if you look at the pillar of this defense, I mean, it's Jeffrey Simmons. I mean, it's just kind of hard to pick somebody else. I know you can probably pick maybe Snead or somebody like that. But when you have a guy that's not just a player, an impact player like Jeffrey Simmons, I mean, you have to go with Jeffrey Simmons because he's that dude.
I like the pick. And for me, I would say the same thing. And it's not just what he does against the pass. You look at his ability against the run and just what he's able to do as far as, like, I love about him. And T.R. Tartt used to do the same thing. And I used to love about Tartt, that quick arm over, that swim move, you know, and he's in the backfield and the running back's like, oh, shoot. You know, and his momentum towards the line is stopped. He has to redirect, and by the time he redirects, he's either getting rocked by Simmons or, you know, another guy is coming in to clean up. So those tackles for a loss, like, that impacts the game too.
Yeah. And then his bull rush. I mean, his bull rush is nasty. I mean, you know, he's a big guy, you know, and he's big up top, but nobody ever talks about how good his feet are. I mean, he's got some good feet. He can move. I mean, he moves like a – I'm not going to say he moves like a Chris Sanders or, you know, a TD, but he moves swiftly and he gets the job done. And when he runs through somebody's lips, there's some games where he's just throwing grown men around. I mean, you're talking about 300-pound, you know, guys – and he's throwing around like that 180 pounds. So it just shows you he's not just good with his feet, he's good with his hands, and he's a powerful, powerful dude, man.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you look at the front, obviously he's the guy. You mentioned Legarius Sneed. When you have a lockdown corner like that,
oh my gosh,
what does that do for the rest of the defense?
Oh, man, it makes everybody better, and I'm going to tell you why. Because if you look at the situation last year, you would have, you know, the front four, the front three, or 3-4 defense to where they're getting to the quarterback, but then all of a sudden you don't have a cornerback that gives up a big play. It hurts everything. Even though you're getting to the quarterback and the secondary doesn't make plays, it still hurts the whole defense. But now you got a situation to where your front is putting pressure on the quarterback, and then you got a lockdown corner on the right, and then you got a lockdown corner on the left, which Awuzie, it's just going to make everybody better because everybody's going to be able to do their job.
Yeah, and to me, I can't stress it enough, the importance of a guy like Snead. Even Awuzie, you talk about Roger McCreary too. These are all guys, and I love talking to them because – They like to come up and they like to put their hands on people, you know, and that's important.
It is.
When we talk about Jeffrey Simmons, how he helps things, but you look at those guys and getting their hands on people, get into as a receiver, like how that changes.
God.
I mean, you got a guy coming up and he's right in front of you. How does that change the way you approach things?
I mean, you got to have a game plan. I mean, if you look at back when I played, this is a long time, I'm telling my age, when I played in 1995 to 2001, they could choke you at the line of scrimmage. I mean, I went against some great corners. Deion Sanders would choke you at the line of scrimmage. You got Chris Dishman. You got Darrell Lewis. You got, you know, the guys that used to play for the Kansas City Chiefs, Dale Carter, and some guys like that that had those long arms that could put his hands on you. But now you got a situation to where even if you get close to the line of scrimmage, you can't really touch the wide receiver. So I think it's important. I think it's going to really help Denard Wilson, the defensive coordinator for the Tennessee Titans, because he can be more aggressive because you have two guys on the outside that are going to put pressure on the wide receiver, put their hands on her, and disrupt the timing of the offense.
Did you ever have a time where you lined up and you got jammed up and the quarterback looked at you and then looked away real fast?
Yes. Oh, big – Yeah, Dale Carter chin checked me. Chin checked me, and I'm like, you know, somebody was ordering popcorn, and I'm in the stands with him because I got jammed so bad at the line of scrimmage. But here's what I had to do with him. This is why this is so good, is because I knew that once he jammed me the first time, that he was waiting for me to make my last move. So now what I had to do is I had to go back to the tank, to the film, watching with Les Steckel and the offensive coordinator, Jerry Rome, at that time. He said, what do you have to do with him? You just got to go. And so with that, instead of just making a whole bunch of moves at the line of scrimmage, I just went, and then now I was able to, you know, stack him and beat him at the line of scrimmage. So that's what you have to do to have a game plan, you know, when you're at the line of scrimmage.
Dale Carter was so good, man. He was so good. I mean, you know better than me from having to face him, but from watching him, man, I really liked him. And he was, you know, I was always a contrarian, you know what I mean, where I was like, everybody would talk about Deion. I'd be like, Dale Carter, Rob Woodson. You know what I mean?
But you know, just watching Deion Sanders, this is my opinion, and everybody's different. Deion Sanders, the reason why he pressed, because he knew he had catch-up speed, he knew he could get out of the cut. Mm-hmm. But if he played off sometime, he wasn't that good off. So that's why he didn't play, you know, off coverage as much. He did it sometimes, but if you look at 98% of the time, he was all up in the mustache, because if he can disrupt the wide receiver and get him off his spot a little bit, then he'll win at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, no, and that was his thing. He always wanted to play press. You're right about that. Well, let's flip it to the other side of the ball and talk about this offense, because, you know, when you look at that, we said Will Levis, obviously, that's man number one, but – you take him out of the equation, who's most critical to this team's success offensively?
I think it's two people, and I don't know if we can pick two. I think it's Pollard and Spears. And the reason why I say it's Pollard and Spears is because who did we just let go to the Ravens?
Sir Henry.
Henry was a big part of the offense. The running game was a big part of the offense. So now you got two running backs they're both three down backs. But I think the running game has got to go through them. And I think if they have the good running game, it's going to make everybody better in the passing game. It's going to help Hop. It's going to help Calvin Ridley. It's going to help Tyler Boyd. It's going to have Traylon Burks. Why? Because the running game is so good. And I know the offense is going to look a little different this year. I know it's going to be maybe pass first, run second. But at the end of the day, you still have to have a good running game when it gets in December. And I think with Spears and Pollard, if they can just both get one of them get 1,000 yards and one get 900 yards, then now it won't hurt as much as losing Derrick Henry.
Yeah, they do have to offset that loss. That's going to be huge. But I think when you look at the offense shifting to a more pass-friendly, complementary through the running game, I think, you know, these guys fit that too. So I get what you're saying there, the MVP, just in that they help allow that transition because of how well they catch the football as well as run it. If you had to pick one to be the, I don't want to say primary back, but who do you think would be the lead back out of those two? Who do you think is going to settle into that role?
Yeah, and I'll just say this for now, but the reason why I say Pollard is because he just has more experience. That's it. I'm not saying that he's way better than Spears. I just think that, you know, Pollard's just been in the trenches longer than Spears has, and that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that Spears can't do it. I just think that, you know, with Pollard, he just has more experience. That's why I just picked Pollard.
I could see that. I could definitely see that. You know, it's just, man, Spears Tasha, dude, man. Tasha got juice, God. Man. He just got juice.
And we saw it in practice last year.
Remember, it was like the second time we saw him. We're like, yo, this kid, like, he got a little something. You know, and the thing, I love just the way that first man that comes to tackle him, it's rare that guy's bringing him down. It's very rare.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, and he's just so good in space. I mean, we saw some of the screens that he ran. Once he get in space, I mean, he's hard to bring down, but also he makes jokers miss. So when you have a guy like that to where he can maybe do a bubble screen but also do some screens coming out the backfield, he's just a dynamic player with dynamic skills.
And it's so fun to see him mic'd up, you know, because that way fans that aren't there at practice, you know, they get to see, like, this dude, and look, you get it to this level, everybody loves football. But I just love when it just, like, that passion for the game just kind of oozes out of them. And you get to see that with him. He's so fun to watch, the energy he has. And just to see him just kind of the way he's settling in, and you see his personality come out more and more, it's been great.
And you know who he reminds me of, I don't know if you remember, Rodney Thomas that backed up Eddie George. He came in the same time I came in, almost had 1,000 yards we started. But Rodney Thomas was that quiet, confidence guy. But all of a sudden, he started to break out of his shell and start to speak more. You know, rest his soul, he passed away. But he was one of the best running backs I've ever been around.
Nice, nice. And I didn't realize he passed away, man. Rest in peace, man. Roddy
yeah,
Tom,
he did.
I did
yeah,
not know
he
that.
He passed away about 10, 11 years ago. Yeah,
never,
he did.
I
but
never
he was a
knew
great
that.
Running back, but also a great teammate. I mean, just a great player. It's like when Eddie George would come out of the game, we didn't miss a beat. And the funny thing about it is, I know we're kind of getting off subject, but if you ask anybody that played on that Super Bowl team, who did they hate to go against in 907? They said Roddy Thomas, because
really?
Roddy Thomas ran hard every single play.
Yeah, well, you got to, right? Because, you know, behind a gladiator, a soldier like Eddie George, you're not going to get many opportunities. So you got to take advantage of every one. Real quick, stylistically, Tajay Spears reminds me so much of Aaron Jones. He's so similar in that they're not big, but they're angular. They're hard to tackle. Very good out of the backfield. Shifty. They run hard. Yeah. Just fun to watch. Those two remind me so much of each other. I can't let you get out of here without talking about these receivers real quick.
And oh, my God.
Look, we know the three. We know the three. Hopkins, Ridley, and Boyd. When you look at them, is it conceivable to say, hey, Boyd will lead the team in receptions, Hopkins in touchdowns, Ridley in yards? Like, can you have three different leaders in the three different major receiver categories?
That's a great observation, and I think you can, because even though Tyler Boyd might have more catches, the reason why he's had more catches is because you're going to be more in third down. So when you're in a situation like that, he's going to have more catches. But now, who's your explosive players to where you may have two catches for 115? That means Calvin Ridley is going to take the top off the defense, run a post, run a dig, catch it, and go. And then you got Hop with the same thing. You throw a fade, he may have three catches for 130. So even though they might not have the catches, they might have more explosive plays. But then you have Tyler Boyd, they might have more catches because he's on third down and he's consistently, you know, keeping the chain moving. That's going to be the difference.
I like the triple threat option that
I love it.
You know,
three-headed monster.
Yeah, three-headed. And the thing is, it goes back to, I remember 2017, you know, with the Eagles facing the Patriots. And I remember doing Radio Row, and I was going, like, from interview to interview, and they're like, who do you got winning? I said, the Eagles. And they looked at me like, oh, you crazy. I said, listen, Bill Belichick, he always wants to take away what you do best, like your best player.
Absolutely.
They don't really have a best player. So who are you going to take away? You know what I mean? And sure enough, you saw what happened. Alshon Jeffrey had a touchdown.
Yep.
Zach Ertz had a touchdown. Corey Clement, of all people, had a touchdown. Like, they had different people contribute. And I think that's the issue with teams that are facing the Titans, is there's not that Justin Jefferson that you say, okay, we're going to shut him down and we're going to be all right. No, you have to, like, attack it across the board. And I think that's going to be good for that offense.
Yeah, but see, even take a little deeper, TD, just to say you go a 12 personnel, one back, two tights, and two wide receivers. Okay, check this out. You got Wiley on the left of Y. You got Chig as the H, and then you have the other receivers, maybe Hobbit X, and then you have Calvin Ridley the Z. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden, we call it breakout, to where you put the two tight ends in slot. Who you going to cover, boss?
Pick your poison.
And then you got a back in the backfield, Pollard or Spears. I mean, it could be really dangerous. So it's just so many things that Nick Holt, you know, that offense can do. It's going to be very, very interesting.
And you talk about guys coming out their shell. I remember Nick Holt, his first interview. I remember, like, his first press conference. I remember walking out of that room like, oh, my goodness. Who in this world is going to listen to him?
That's what
I remember thinking. I said to myself, who in this world is going to listen to him? Because he seemed very timid, very, you know. And so I talked to you know, a couple of sources in the building. I was like, man, I don't know. And they said, no, he's going to be fine. Just watch. During minicamp, you know, he spoke a couple more times. And you really started to see him come out of his shell and just, like, actually be a little more authoritative. So I just wanted to say that. Just to, you know, for those who heard me say that he seemed very timid and things like that, he eliminated that label from my perspective. But speaking of labels, so I'm watching a movie, right? I'm not really a big movie person, but I always loved Beverly Hills Cop, you know. So obviously with Beverly Hills Cop, Axel F. coming out, you know, I'm watching that. And, you know, there's this guy, he's in this trash truck, and he's just, or excuse me, it's a bulldozer. And he's just wrecking havoc on the city, driving through everything, right? So then he crashes and he gets out the car, and my girl was like, oh my God, you did not tell me that your homie Chris Sanders was a movie star. I said, oh no, baby. That ain't Chris Sanders. That's Axel Foley, a.k.a. Eddie Murphy.
Oh, my God. Well, guess what? That's cool. That's cool. Well, guess what? Me and my wife, we were listening to the OJs. They were listening to LTD. Then all of a sudden, this song comes on, and it goes, Just Got Paid. And she was like, baby, I did not know that that TD could sing. I said, baby, that's not TD. That's Johnny Kemp.
You said LTD. I instantly thought about mustaches, man.
Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh.
They had those aggressive mustaches.
This is Traylon Burks, and I'm talking with TD.
New York City. You are now rapping with 50 Cent.
We just going to let it play.
You got to love it.
I just want to chill and talk. Catch stunts in my 745.
Yeah. That's that feel-good music right there, man. Feel-good music for sure. Sir. 21 Questions. I wanted to lead off with that song because obviously we're talking about questions that we have entering training camp. Obviously, 21 is a lot. I'm only going to give you like half of that, but we talked about the offense to start it off. Now we'll get into the defense. And I'll say this. There's going to be some they're back in the building, getting back in the building, that is. There's going to be some action. I would expect the Titans to sign one or two veteran players. I say within the next week or so, I think there's going to be an addition. So stay tuned for that. But the defense is an area where I think there are question marks. There definitely are. It looks a lot more sound just because of the way the optics are, right? When you look at Denard Wilson, you look at Coach Rocker, you look at Steve Jackson, you look at, the different coaches that they've brought in, you know, Chris Harris remaining, Low Locust, we can go on and on. There's a bit of carryover there, but also there's a more high-profile influx of coaching talent, on the defensive side of the ball. And that's understandable because Brian Callahan is kind of the source, like the nucleus of the offense. You know, that's his thing. But I think when you look at the other side of the ball, this staff that they put together defensively, it's legit. And I like it a lot. We'll see how that continues to play out. But one of the things that's really important, and, you talk about Coach Rocker, my first question is really, it comes down to T'Vondre Sweat. I think that's the biggest question mark on defense, the biggest. And I'm sure some of you, social media, you've seen Dane Brugler, I had him as a fourth rounder, this, that, and that. Listen, the dude's way better than a fourth rounder. I don't invest in that. But there's questions regarding him and even regarding his play. You know, some will say, hey, he didn't really surface or really become a top prospect until his final year. Why is that? I mean, there's various reasons. Everybody has their own journey. I'm not going to use that as a knock on him. All I know is this dude was, one of the best defensive players, period, in college last year, right? So he was doing something right. But the fact of the matter is this, and it's the same thing with Treylon Burks. And, when you had the things being said about him, about his practice style, Trevor Maddich, you cannot give someone an opportunity to play you up to, I don't want to say the stereotype, but play you up to the label that has been placed on. So for T'Vondre Sweat, okay, whatever happened during OTAs and minicamp, it happened.
Yeah.
It's done. Good brother, you get here to training camp, you pass that conditioning test immediately, and I'm talking about every single play, 1,000%. You got to do that.
Exactly.
Because you have this label placed on you, right, wrong, or indifferent, mm-hmm. that you don't give a you know what about football. You got this label that you're a party boy. You got this label that you're a loose cannon. Look, the loose cannon is fine.
Yeah.
I personally don't think you can't have all buttoned up to the top button type of players. Like, you exactly. got to have every team has to have
the crazy guy.
Every team has to have the Darren Bates. Yeah, you have to have at least one or two of them.
Just not too crazy, like Darren Bates.
But along with that, you got to have that guy to be like, hey, DB, come here, man.
Yeah.
Come on. You know what I mean? Sure. So you have to have that balance. But nevertheless, that loose cannon part is okay as long as it's controlled. But I say all that to say, Tavondre Sweat, you put him in the middle of that defense. You know, whether he's 360, 340, 330, whatever he plays at, that's a lot of man weighing on somebody over and over and over again. He's going to start winning matchups. And then what happens? You start having to double team him. And that's when your Jeffrey Simmons really starts to excel, because there isn't an offensive lineman that could block Jeffrey Simmons one-on-one in this league.
It's just facts.
So I think that helps. But then you also have to look at what he brings to the table as far as being able to collapse that pocket from the interior. I know he didn't get a lot of sacks, but he got a lot of pressures in the 30s when you're talking about pressuring the quarterback. That's really, really good from the defensive interior tackle part of things, right? You look at Dexter Lawrence from the Giants. He had 33 pressures this past year, and that was one of the things that they used to highlight why they feel he's the number three defensive tackle. Now, I don't think he's number three, but that's a different conversation. I put Simmons up there a little bit higher, but whatever. Nevertheless, the ability to impact the pocket as an interior pass rusher is critical, and he does that. So it's really a question of, okay, have you changed? Are you going to prove the labels to be incorrect? Or are you going to prove these naysayers, the peanut gallery and everybody, or are you going to prove them right?
Yep.
And that's a decision that Tavondre Sweat has to
exactly.
prove. Because you know what? The one thing that you can't control is the effort. Like, mm-hmm. you can't always control, you know, whether or not the ball runs to your side. You can't always control whether or not, you know, the quarterback throws the ball in 2 seconds or not. But you could control the effort that you put in and week out, day in and day out, more importantly, because it starts with training camp. Mm-hmm. You could control that.
Exactly.
And that's what he has to make sure is right. Now, with that, you have other guys. Like, I think Marlon Davidson, I think Keandre Colburn, TK McClendon, Sebastian Joseph Day. Those are other guys that can have a presence on that defensive line along with Simmons. But Tavondre Sweat, the 38th overall pick.
He has to
come through. That's why it's the biggest question mark mm-hmm. to me. Now, the next question that I look at, and it's crazy. Like, we're spending a lot of time in the trenches, but it just goes to show you. And even, you know, Denard Wilson, he said himself,
yeah.
you know, the game is won and lost in the trenches.
Exactly.
You know, everything else is all relative. That's where it's won. So it is right that we're spending this amount of time on the trenches, because my next thing is, okay, the pass rush from the outside. Remember, DeNico Autry is gone.
Those 11 sacks are gone.
Yeah. Those are a lot of sacks that you're taking away. Howard Landry, I feel as though he looks like he's a bit bigger,
mm-hmm.
Just stronger, like better, like more sturdy, I guess is the best way to put it. But more importantly, he's another year removed from that injury. And you start to see him come along as the year went on. Will he be able to carry that over? Now, he wasn't here, you know, for a good part of the OTAs and things, but once things got mandatory, he was in the building and he was out there. And I think that's a good thing, but can he be that pass rusher that other teams are going to say, okay, look, man, we got to figure out how to stop 58. That's a question. And if he can't be that guy, it comes down to, okay, how can the supporting cast be around him, right? You know, Arden Key, he hasn't gotten double-digit sacks yet in his career. And I'm not just measuring it by sacks, but I think you have to – there's an importance that has to be placed on the ability to finish, right? Get to the quarterback. It's good to impact him, and he has impacted the quarterback, you know, at times. But I think you got to also finish and get those sacks. Now, I will say this. When you look at the pass rush, Kenneth Murray, you know, is a guy that – they're going to send him on blitzes, so In essence, he's going to become another pass rusher for them, but they have to find a way. Rashad Weaver, what, four sacks in his rookie year. Can they get him back to that level of production to where he gets that 6 to 8 sacks? Can he do that? He's going to have to, I think, because right now, look, like, you know, they didn't go out and get Carl Lawson. They didn't go out and get, you know, any of these other pass rushers, you know, that could be had for a lower amount. They're not putting a deal together to get Joey Bosa. So, like, you got to find from within someone who is going to be able to emerge. It's like the Eagles, man. You look at the Eagles, like, when they had Derek Barnett and Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham and Josh Sweat, and like, it was like that movie, I Am Legend.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
They just kept coming and coming and coming and coming. And the quarterback just, like, was under a constant duress. I think depth along with quality is the ideal thing to have. Right now, I can't really say they have high quality or high depth. Mm-hmm. So for me, that's why up front is the big question. We'll also have to look at that inside linebacker position, because I did mention Kenneth Murray. And look, if things didn't work with the Chargers, it didn't work, you know, and he's a type of guy, you just tell him, hey, you point at something, you say, man, just go wreck that. I need you to just bust that up. You know what I mean? You tell him, go out there and just bust stuff up. He's not the type of player you want to read and react and you know, diagnose. You just want him to just trigger and go get it. See ball, hit ball. That being said, in that Chargers defense, you know, he wasn't set up for success. Point blank. So now he's in a situation where I believe this defense sets him up for success. But when you have a guy that, you know, a run and hit type of guy, like, you need somebody else to be the brains of that part of it. Jack Gibbons is a very good compliment from that perspective. But then you have the athletic limitations with Jack Gibbons. You saw the scramble, Tua to the left side. I mean, it wasn't fair, you know. I will say, though, he did a good job. I remember one play where he carried a tight end down the seam, defended him well. So not to say that he can't do it, but you're taking Azeez El-Shaarawy out of the game, and he's now in Houston, and this is a guy sideline to sideline. Like, he had the diagnose and go get it in him together. You know, so you take him out, you need somebody to kind of offset that. Now, Cedric Gray is the guy that we've all said, hey, you know, eventually he's going to be the starter. Right now, it kind of looks like he's, you know, a fish out of water. And it's understandable, right? Because this game is moving fast. And there's so much that he has to think about. And he's going to play slow initially. But he's a guy that I'm really going to be watching during training camp. Because I want to see if there's that moment where it's like, okay, here we go. I'm straight, you know. So those are a couple of the questions. Otis Reese, we didn't really see much from him in OTAs and minicamp, but he remains a factor. He had some quality starts down the stretch last year. And then a wild card, James Williams. He's another one of those guys where you just say, hey, man, just go bust stuff up. And he's a very violent player. He's making that transition from safety to linebacker, but between those guys, like, they have to find someone to complement and offset Kenneth Murray Jr. in the way that he plays. So that's another question. My last question is going to be at the safety position. And obviously, Imani Hooker, Elijah Molden, those are guys that – look, Hooker has played a lot of quality football. Molden, you know, he's had spurts, but he's also had some spurts. We're like, come on, Elijah. Come on, man. Come on. You know, so he's not very fast. So carrying, you know – running down the field with receivers is not something you're going to really be able to ask him to do. We'll see what happens. But more importantly, the availability perspective from them, it's been limited. So behind them, the depth, right? You know, Mike Brown, Shai Carter, Matthew Jackson, who we have a story posting, a feature on him. I don't know, man. That safety position, there's some questions there. Because should one of those guys go down, and how much can you trust these guys behind him? Shai Carter and Elijah Molden essentially are the same player, if you ask me. I just wonder, I believe that that's a position. I don't think it's going to be Justin Simmons. I think they're going to add from that perspective. I think they're going to add to that safety group. So that's a question for now. It's going to change to a different question depending on the veteran that they add. I'm intrigued by what they do there. So, yeah, I think that's a good place to button it up, to wrap it up here for this week. We'll continue the conversation as we work to get closer to training camp. But definitely, I make sure you check us out on Spotify, Google Podcasts, anywhere you find your fine listening materials. Search Talking with TD. Subscribe, rate, review. We appreciate you.